Welcome back to Breakthroughs. I'm Beth Kuehl, your executive career coach and host of Breakthroughs. Today, I'll be interviewing Michael Switek. Michael Switek is on a mission to uplift the lives of the world's largest minority, people with disabilities, especially those who are legally blind or have low vision, by enhancing their travel experiences. He's not only a senior executive with real-world success in the airline industry, but is also legally blind himself. His unique life experiences have shaped his outlook and career journey. With a distinguished aviation career, Michael Switek has excelled in senior executive roles at prominent global airlines, currently serving as the chief strategy officer at the Abra Group, the parent company of Avianca and GOL Airlines. He shapes the strategic direction of these airlines, driving profitability and competitiveness in the Americas market. Prior to his current role at Abra Group, Switek held the position of chief strategy and planning officer at Avianca, transforming the airline's positioning through alliance formation, network expansion, and corporate planning. He has also championed inclusivity as co-chair of Culture Transformation, Accessibility, and Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, solidifying Avianca's reputation as a socially responsible airline. Previously, Michael has held senior roles at several global airlines, including chief planning officer at Indigo Airlines, the largest airline in India, Qatar Airways as chief planning officer, and Air New Zealand, where he served as director of strategic planning. Throughout his career, Michael Switek's strategic acumen and leadership have left an indelible mark on the aviation industry, propelling organizations to new heights. Welcome, Michael. It's great to have you here on Breakthroughs. Let's just dive right into it. I'm curious, as a leader, what do you consider to be the most important characteristics that define an effective leader?
I also want to say thank you for the opportunity to be on the Breakthroughs podcast. To be an effective leader, I think there's a few elements that need to be covered. First, a good leader has to be a decision maker, and a decision maker with imperfect information or data. This is really what we're paid to do, is to make a decision. Once that decision's made, you need to be very clear and very concise on the main points you want people to implement. While doing this, I think another quality or characteristic for a great leader is you need to be empathetic. And then finally, I would say you have to be a good listener. And we'll talk about listening skills a little later. I'm a good decision maker, clear, concise, empathetic, and a great listener are the characteristics I look for in a leader.
Okay, in that order, or do you have one that you think is most primary?
Well, I think the decision making is the most primary. The worst I've seen of companies is when they cannot make a decision. You know, life continues whether we decide or not. So making timely decisions is really critical. I think all of the rest kind of flow from that, but you know, it's debatable as to what's the most important.
Mm-hmm. May I ask, what decision did you feel was the most critical in your career, or the one that you feel defines you as a leader?
Probably the most critical decision in my career, if you take a very high level view, is what industry you actually choose to get into. I did a finance MBA at the University of Chicago, and the typical student would have gone into investment banking. I realized early in my life that investment banking was probably not the best industry suited for me. It isn't what I had the most passion or love for. And I asked myself a simple question: when I'm in my free time, what do I like to learn about? And it tended to be about airplanes and airlines. So my biggest decision was actually choosing to go into an industry I loved, which was the airline industry, and therefore an industry where I had a leg up in competing with other people in the industry. And to use the Confucius quote, Beth, right? If you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. The choice of industry was a very big first step for me.
What about the values, your values? How does that come into play?
Yeah, values is a very important question in business. I mean, values come into play for me is I'd like to think that everybody is honest, has integrity, has a bit of kindness, empathy. But we know that's not true in this world. I tend to want to work with people who have that. And I won't say which company, but there has been a company in my career where I left because I just didn't feel like my personal values aligned with the personal values of the leadership at that company and maybe the values of the company itself. So I think, we want to be optimistic about where we work. We want to feel engaged. And if your values are misaligned, you're going to have trouble having those two things happen in your job.
Mike, what's the best advice you have for someone who has a disability, who is desirous and determined to advance in their career?
I like the word you used in desire. There is a theory called the desirability of difficulty. And living with a disability is a difficulty. It does bring around different challenges. For mine, it's, visual. For others, it can be hearing, it can be mobility, it can be neurodiversity. But here's the great promise I think I could give to others is we're all unique. Some things are strengthened by our disability, some things are weaker. Here's the really strong ones that have come out for me, and I even call these superpowers at some point, Beth, is my ability to listen, is I'm not cluttered by what is around me. So I really use the sense of listening and hearing because I'm not distracted by what's happening in the room or where I am. So I've become a great listener. I've also had to memorize things, so my skill of memorization has been tremendous. Thirdly, I know what it's like to need help every day from other kind individuals, so empathy and kindness just comes naturally. And those are some of the things that have become my advantages in building a career as a leader and driving companies through difficult times. Now, in fairness, I've told you three strengths. I'll have to tell you a weakness is trying to keep up with technology is a little more difficult when you can't see what's in front of you. But even there have been great strides by companies. And I know even sighted people have difficulties with technology. But I guess the lesson is use what you have and use it well. And for every bad luck we get in life, I'm always convinced there's an equal amount of good luck that we get. I think the North Star for me is, again, having a great attitude first. Listening to other people and then using the skills I have. And I work in the airline industry. So the first question I generally get is, am I a pilot? And I say, well, not the best pilot without having vision, but I've been able to pilot other things. I've been able to, as I said, sit in a meeting and listen to what people are saying rather than guessing where they're going based on the slides that they're using. And rather than trying to be the smartest person in the room, often ask some of those basic questions. And I've been able to boil complicated issues down to very simplistic approaches. I don't know how much of that's due to my disability. I'd like to think that both disabled and persons who are abled, could learn or do these same things. But it's certainly, I'm proud of what I've been able to accomplish. And proud to be, well, I had one person recently say, Mike, you're a unicorn. I mean, a person with a disability who's also a leader. It's rare. I don't think it's that rare, but I was very happy to hear someone say that. But again, I go back to, this has been some of my strengths, not just my weaknesses, and we all have to balance our strengths and weaknesses.
Mike, what was the biggest challenge you've overcome in your career?
Well, there have been so many times in the airline industry with those sort of challenges. I've just come out of a 3, 4 year period where we've all survived COVID. Avianca, which is one of the primary airlines I've been working for, we had to go through a Chapter 11 restructuring. We had to then change our business strategy, which that was the easy part, actually. There's this great Peter Drucker quote that culture eats strategy for breakfast. And that was the fourth one. And I think this would be the biggest challenge I've ever faced in my career, Beth, is I'm a dual citizen of the United States and New Zealand, but working for a company based in Bogota, Colombia. We had survived Chapter 11 and changed our business strategy. And I was tapped on the shoulder with our human resource officer to change the culture of a 12,000 person company that stretches from Guatemala to Ecuador. So imagine a blind person where Spanish is, I'll loosely say, my second language. I'm not quite fluent. in a different culture, in a different part of the world, and said, "Hey, Mike, we really want you to be instrumental in changing the culture of this company. So how do you do that?" Wow, what a challenge that was. But it comes back to what I believe some of the leadership qualities are, or characteristics. Number one, be a good listener. Number two, be clear and concise in communicating your message. Number three, be empathetic and kind with the people. I love respect from who I am, not from the title on my business card. And then finally, having to make great decisions in a timely manner to change the culture. And we've built at Avianca a culture where we're all committed to win, where we're meeting our key result areas. And that has been a highlight in my career, Beth, to be an English speaking person tasked with changing the culture at a Latin American airline. It's
Wow.
been a thrill of my life.
That
And
is
I
an
don't
exciting
know,
job.
I don't know if I could have done that, with full sight. I think I needed some of the, some of those things we talked about to be a person who was totally in touch with others, but not judgmental, by what someone looks like, et cetera.
How would you say blindness has affected you both positively and negatively in the workplace?
So we have five senses as human beings: sight, hearing, touch, taste, and smell. And it is a very frequent question asked for people who have a disability. Do your other senses compensate, or do they get to a super level? And the answer is kind of twofold, is I don't think it's the level of my hearing that's improved, but it's the awareness of what's around me by using my hearing. So if you and I were walking down the street, Beth, and someone stopped us and said, "What have you just been listening to?" The sighted person in your case would probably say, "Well, I wasn't really paying attention to anything other than I was maybe talking to Mike." The blind, low vision person like myself will tell you, "Well, I've been listening to cars go by and bicycles go by, and I know we're in a crowded place because I hear lots of voices, and I can tell that there's an echo. So there must be some walls or buildings around us because the sound is reverberating." And I can even use my sense of touch or feel to say, I think it's 9 a.m. in the morning, and I'm pretty sure we're walking towards the east because I can feel the sun on my face." And, that's using, again, the sense of touch and hearing to navigate, a little bit of smell, very little of taste in navigating. Smell and taste are two senses that have become richer for me because it's how I enjoy things a little more. But yeah, it's a fascinating world, or at least I think it's a fascinating world, how we'll use these other things in place of another. And sometimes the sense of touch is a much better way to navigate than by vision. We don't have to get into this deeply, but I do work with a technology company that works in haptics. And think about putting a wristband on your hand that would vibrate almost like holding your hand and pulling you in the right direction, as opposed to trying to look at an Apple or Google map where you're not sure if you're pointed north or south, east or west. The hardest part for the maps, as far as I understand, is you're not exactly sure where to start. I'd like to tell you another story, Beth. Recently, I'm now at a company called Abra Holdings, which has the ownership of both Gol, a Brazilian airline, and Avianca, the airline I worked at previously. We had the two board of directors come together. We had a person facilitating a session for people to get to know each other. And a couple of the exercises the facilitator did were really about listening. So in the first one, it was the classic kind of Simon Says, where he said, "Do what I tell you to do." But at some point, he started giving false instructions. So at first, he said, "Touch your knee, touch your head, put your left arm out." But at some point, he started doing something different to what he was saying. And everyone in the room started laughing. And I said, "What's going on?" And they said, "Mike, for the last five directions, you're the only person who got it right." Everybody else was watching him and imitating what he was doing. They were not listening to him and doing what he was telling you to do. And the facilitator kind of said, "Oh my God, I've never had anybody do this." And I said, yeah, I'm blind. And my CEO jumped in and said, yeah, Mike is blind. This is what he tells me all the time. This is why he asks a question that isn't the question that the sighted people are saying. And then we did another exercise where it was reading a paragraph and you had to count the number of letter F's. I had an assistant help me and she read it to me and I counted. Everyone else reading it read so fast they would skip the of's in the sentence. And they were convinced there were only seven F's in the paragraph when in fact there were 13. And again, I was the only person to get it right because I didn't do it through the act of visual activity. I did it as a listening activity. And that really turned everybody on the board to go, oh my God, I get this diversity issue. I get why it's valuable to have somebody who thinks and does things differently. And I think I get this desirability of difficulty.
Yeah, and I think they also could say, and we need you. We benefit from having you because you add value. How do you think AI and other advanced technology could help the cause of enabling more inclusion in the workplace and helping people with disabilities manage better?
That's an interesting question. I haven't thought of artificial intelligence from that perspective. The perspective that I am very eagerly awaiting for the technology, the companies to move along with is voice activated controls and voice activated, having a discussion with my computer or smartphone. It's pretty good today, but it still breaks down at a lot of junctions. And again, I've always encouraged this in my career to have people, not just with me, but others, stand behind somebody for 15 minutes a day and watch how they work. And you'll learn new things. And there was a point in my career where people would sort of feel a little bit sorry for me. And persons with disability never want to be felt sorry for because we have these other extraordinary skills. But people would stand behind me and say, oh my God, I thought you probably struggled with email. Here you are just asking your phone to read your emails to you. And then you're responding them faster than I am because you do voice to text to dictate. And occasionally it makes a spelling mistake or something. When you try to do things in different ways, when you're forced to do things in different ways, like persons with disability are, you may actually open up new doors. So I hope we get the most out of artificial intelligence, that we have people working on these projects who are deaf, who are blind, who have neurodiversity, and may unlock something even more extraordinary.
Mike, could you share with us what you're most proud of in your career? The greatest accomplishment, and what you hope for the future in the airline industry.
So there's three things I'm really proud of, Beth, is one is we've talked a little bit about the airline strategy, and that includes culture transformation. I'm very proud to be a leader who leads by example. But I think my proudest moment yet to come is going to be working on accessibility and travel. So I'm currently in charge of accessibility at my own airline, and I'm also the chairman of the International Air Transport Association for their working group on accessibility and travel. And we have over 1.3 billion persons with disability in the world. 2.5% of people are low vision or blind. 3.5% are deaf or hearing impaired. 5% have mobility issues. 5 to 6% have neurodiversity. And I'm very proud to say that we have some principles and some tools to make travel better for all of these people, not just blind people like myself, but persons with all disabilities. It's going to take some time. It's probably going to be 1,000 small actions, 100 medium actions, and 10 big actions. But we're focused on all of those. We have five tools that we use of awareness, training, process improvement, digital technology, and hardware. And I'm proud to say we're going to solve this issue for most people. We're going to make it easier for people to travel who have disabilities.
I am delighted to hear that. It's an exciting proposition. It's an exciting and interesting and noble challenge. You are paving the path for the future. And I'm really quite honored to talk with you, Michael. You're an inspiration to me and to everyone, I'm sure, who's listening. And I wish you continued success.
Thank you, Beth. And coming from a professional coach like yourself, that means a lot. I'm a bit of a amateur coach. I think coaching is very important as a leader as well. But I truly take your words to heart, and it's been an absolute pleasure to share some of my story, some of the airline industry story, and most importantly, the story of how together we're going to make travel more accessible for everybody.
Well, let's do it again and to be continued.